page 342. Because yesterday and Friday we spent a whole shiur. We gave 8 different reasons why it says lahazkir, the meaning of the word lahazkir. 8 different reasons. Today we're going to go further. Lizmo l'gavon haskir Hashem al biketz al biketz picha, in your anger, ketz. So do not rebuke me in your anger. Uvachamosuchas yasreli, do not chastise me in your fury. Pasuk Gimel, why? Ki chitzecha ni chasuvi, your arrows. Now the word nichasu is very hard word. This is the whole discussion of Rashi. There are two words in this pasuk. Nichasu means, that's a question. What does it mean nichasu? It means you have shot your arrow. I mean, if you look at the pasuk at a very superficial level, it would seem to say that you have shot your arrows against me. Vatinchas olai yodech, and you have lowered your hand upon me. There are two words here. This is the long Rashi. We're just going to read it very quickly because I'm not going to make you that I understand anything. And well, basically, there are two words over here that are very similar. They both seemingly have the same shortage. The play on the words. Over here, obviously, the David over here very often, he plays around with language, Lashon, Lefel, Lashon, and he can take words that are completely different but share similar sounds. They are phonetically similar, and put them together for a technique in order to, poetry. In order for it to sound good, but really the words mean completely two different worlds. Both of these worlds, if you notice, have the same. They have a ches and a suf. In addition, they have a nun. And the big question is that nun part of the root of the word, or is that nun not part of the root? Many times, I don't know the rules of grammar, but when you take a word, and you manipulate it. And you play with it in order to express the concept in a different form. The nun can be padded, can be added in order to give the word a flavor. Or sometimes, if the word actually has a nun as part of its root, the nun apoyal, the nun of the first letter of the root, it actually can disappear. So you look at this pasuk that you have over here, arrows. Now, a bow, what do you do with a bow? A bow, you bend. You bend a bow. That is how you prepare, you arm the bow to launch a missile, to shoot an arrow long distance. You have to bend it just enough. You have to decide where you want it to land. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of precision, in order to guide, to direct the bow. The koyach of an archer is knowing exactly how much to pull back. How far do you pull back the arrow on the yeser? And by doing so, you're causing the bow to bend. And that's what gives the bow the koyach. You know, everything has to bend. It gives it its power to launch. When you let go, the bow will return to its natural state, and that will cause the arrow to be launched to be launched exactly where you want it to go. So that's the word that is usually a word that we associate with a bow. Here the word is associated with the arrow, which is problematic. Ordinarily, when you want to go say the word that you're going to launch a missile with a bow, you're going to use the word nichasu. It's nichasu keshes. You bend the bow, and mimela, the arrow travels far away. Here we're putting the word nichasu in connection with the arrow. So maybe in this context, the word nichasu does not mean to bend. What then would it mean? It would mean maybe there's another word which means to lower, to descend. So then maybe you would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has caused missiles, arrows, to descend upon me, upon us. Now that's the case, would it be repetition? The next word, Vatinchas olai yodecha. What does that word mean? Then there would be repetition. Vatinchas olai yodecha, you have lowered, you have taken your hand and crushed me. Press your hand down on top of my head to cause me tzar. So basically what's happening over here is that the Rashi is going to say is that the first word the first word, the word nichasu, means to bend, and it is referring to the bow. The bow is going to be bent. Why then do we refer to the arrow? Okay, so no, it's all part of the same team. It's part of the same team. It's all part of the vocabulary. It's part of the vocabulary dealing with bows and arrows, so you can interchange the bending of the bow with the shooting of the arrow. It's poetic. It's all part of the same language. The second word, vatinchas olai yodecha, means to lower, to crush, to put your hand down upon me in an act of crushing and to come down upon. And now, according to that, that's going to force us to understand that in the first word, nichasu, the ches and the saf is the shorish. The nun is not part of the root. It is a word, according to Rash, that has only two-letter root. Some of the machlokes, there's a root. Does it have two letters or three letters? There are different opinions. Everyone, to a certain degree, agrees that a root has two letters. Question: the difference of the opinion is they're dealing with very minor nuances. But on this, but here Rashi makes it very clear that the shoresh of the first word is only a ches and a saf. Ches, which means to bend, and the nun here is just added as a for grammar, in order to express it in a certain form. The second word of a tin ches, there it means to lower, nachas, okay, nachas. Nachas means to come down, and there the nun is indeed part of the root. The nun is part of the root of the word. I just told you the whole Rashi in a nutshell. So let's now read this Rashi. Okay, Mizmo to David, we did already Lahaski, we did already Lem Bishas, Hatzar, Lahaski, Lusas, Yishul of Nekal Shrech, who can call Yishul Amaroi. We send the whole Friday on that. Now we go to Pasuk Gimel. They will
bend.
Okay, does it mean they're bend, or does it mean to lower?
No, it means to bend
their swords into plowshares. They're going to break them. Okay, very good.
Not break them, to reshape them.
Because you made a very interesting point, because what are they doing there? They're taking their sword. The word nichatu is not a word you use in reference to a sword. It is a word you use in reference to a bow. There are two. We have two different enemies. We have Esav and Yishmol. Esav's choice weapon is the cherev, and the choice weapon of the Yishmaelim is the bow and arrow. Is the keshel hu yerevek hashos, and you're saying a whole lot. The Yimosam Mashiach, they're going to take their bows, and their swords. They're going to take their swords, and they're going to bend them. It sounds like there's going to be an intermingling between Yishmael and Esav, that the weapons, the talent of Esav and Yishmael are going to be intermingled, but it's going to be into a plowshare. Now, what does that mean? The apostle of the apostle is referring to the good times, that there's going to be an eradication, the peace. Lamar behamisra u'lasholem en keitz, world peace. There's going to be an eradication of weapons. All the weapons are going to be eliminated. Yet, it is fascinating that the term being used is you're going to take a sword, a cheref, and you're going to nichasu. Rechol is saying a very powerful idea. Give a whole drush on this. You're going to take the sword, you're going to bend the sword. Bending the sword is an expression that one uses in reference to a bow, an arrow, not a sword. So there's an intermingling between the vocabulary of a sword and the vocabulary of a bow and arrow. And where is it going? Into a plowshare. What is a plowshare? Who is that, a weapon? Who ever heard of that? A plowshare, what is the symbolism of a plowshare? You want to say first the Klal Yisrael? Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called Yisrael. Yisrael means zera. I'm going to seed my people. There are many references of zera of Klal Yisrael being their mission, as described as planting seeds. And when you plant seeds, you have to plow the earth. So do you want to say that pasuk means to say that in times of Mashiach we're going to take the koyach of the cheref, which represents our enemy Esav, I'm going to take the koyach of Yishmael, which is the koyach of the bow and arrow, which is described as arming and bending, and the three are going, and the plowshare. You get a mazel tov.
Yeah.
Mazel tov. What's the mazel tov? Oh, nachas. A new great granddaughter. Mazel tov. Beautiful.
Mazel.
Baruch Hashem, we have a simcha. May the simcha be contagious to everyone here. Mazel tov. Okay, of course you have to. You know it's coming. I know. I found this very so-and-so when I daven on Shabbos. He says he's a Shabbos. He says he gets a mazel tov. He had a grandson. So how do you know? So he says because we made up. My son, my daughter. And my son-in-law, they went to the hospital. They were expecting, and it was going to probably be on Shabbos. And they said, if we have a boy, we're going to ring daddy's phone. We're going to tell the nurse to call daddy's phone. And if we have a girl, we're going to tell the nurse to call mommy's phone. And whose phone rang Shabbos morning, 6 o'clock in the morning? No, daddy's phone. So that means we had a boy. I thought it was very good, because you know, you do one ring, you do two rings, you know, three rings. It's very passionate. You call either the father's phone, it's a boy, you call the mother's phone. If you have twins, then you call them both.
How do you know the gender anyway?
Sometimes yes, it depends, no. Sometimes yes, sometimes not, it all depends. Okay, so here we are over here.
By the way, the word
yeah.
When a plane comes down, it says nochet.
Noches means to descend. Our descent. That's what they said in modern Hebrew? Descent. Mr. Marillas, what's with Alan Gross? Are you okay?
Yeah, what's matter?
We haven't seen him in a long time.
His mother is in the rehab and she's not doing so well.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So he's been going there and he says if you don't stay there, they don't take care of him. So
he's managed 24/7.
As much as he can be there.
Yeah, okay. But you see, but he's okay. You saw him on Shabbos? You see him around?
Well, Shabbos, he walks there.
Okay, all right, so.
When you talk about India, my neighbor was in community hospital right here. This was Thursday night, and he had problems, whatever. He was in the emergency room. So I pulled him out, I dropped him off, and he's there with me. It's all that happened. I left to go to Dalmore. I said, if you need me, take you home. If you're done, I'll come pick you up. I called him up there, it was like an hour and a half later. I'm ready to go home. I'm hanging over the bed. I'm ready to go. Nothing's happened. So when nothing's happened. They just gotta check me out. They're not checking me out. I said, go over to the nurse. She's this. She can't even come anymore. I said, I'll be there in a minute. I get there. I walk into the emergency room. I walk up to the desk and I just look at the nurse. She goes, okay, 1 minute. And in 1 minute, he was out. They have to have somebody else.
Advocate. You need an advocate. The nursing, yeah, that's all these signs were going on with Maimonides. You gotta be blind not to see what's going on with these signs. What's really going on over there? Louis Shiner spent $2 million putting up signs all over Flatbush, Maimonides, to fire the president. What's all that about?
He wants to buy.
There's poor kids, but they have to do something.
It's a very complicated, everything has at least two sides to the story. I know someone who works there, he told me a whole different story. Everything has many sides to the story. He spent $2 million, you believe that, $2 million? $2 million it's a lot of money, $2 million is a lot of money, not nothing, what? It's nothing, $2 million? I'll gladly take some of it off his hands. That's a lot of money also.
Okay. Go. Kyle can use new couches.
Okay.
Sleep and comfort.
It's very complicated what's going on over there. Nothing is pashut. Nothing. Okay. Kichi tzecha nichasu viva tinchasu. Over here we are. Okay. Let's go back over to our sugya. We have over here, Rabbi Chol, you're saying a very good thing. You're saying over here something which is chomel drush. What we're trying, there are three words. There is the sword, there is the bow and arrow. I'm trying to suggest to you, Godol Yoim Yisrael. In the time of the Mashiach, it's called Yisrael. Where is that? I think in Hosea. If I'm not mistaken, when did we learn that? We learned that on Shuvah Yisrael. Godol Yoim Yisrael. So I'm trying to say over here, based on what Rebbe Chol just said,
is that the weapon of Klal Yisrael is the plowshare. Because Klal Yisrael is called Zera Kel, the seed of God. We are the seed of God that is planted all over this world to bring forth Yirah Shemayim. Gadol Yom, great is the day of Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael will plant the seeds of godliness in this world. To plant, what tool do you use to plant?
Plowshare. Pushes the two sides away.
In order that you can put the seeds inside.
With the cherub, and let's say with the umbrella, the plowshare doesn't have to fight against it. The blade just pushes aside.
And now you can put the seeds in.
Right.
So now, who are our enemies in this world? Our main enemies are Esav and Yishmael. What is the weapon of Esav? The weapon of Esav is the cherub. What is the weapon of Yishmael? The bow and arrow. What is so? It says that when Mashiach will come, Michal says is that they will lower. What's the word?
I said they will reshape.
Bend. That is the word. What's the Hebrew word used over there? V'chite.
I say v'chite too, but it's
v'chite su. V'chite su cherev le.
Charvo sum le'itim.
Le'itim.
That's the
plowshare. So v'chite su. That is a word that is a key word, part of the vocabulary of bows and arrows. Okay, that's you bent. That is a reserved word. You know, in computers, when you program, there are certain keywords you cannot use. You can make up all the variables you want, but there are certain words you're not allowed to touch. Those are called keywords. Those are reserved for the actual coding of give instructions to the compiler of how to turn your program into ones and zeros. They are keywords. The word v'chitisu is a keyword. It is a word that is reserved specifically for the vocabulary of Yishmael, their weapons of mass destruction. The word cheref is al-char b'chasichya, is a keyword. It is reserved for the weapons of mass destruction of Esav. The plowshare, the itisois, the plowshare is a word, a weapon of Klal Yisrael. It's their word, it's their tool. They have, Esav has bows, Esav has as swords, Yishmael has bows and arrows, and Klal Yisrael have plowshares. They have plowshares. In Shemitah, you don't use it. Shemitah, Shabbos, it's over. Shabbos, you don't use the plowshares. You have plowshares. When Mashiach will come, it says that the bows and arrows and the swords somehow are going to be come together into the plowshares. Now, what does that mean exactly? It means that Klal Yisrael is going to utilize all of the power and weapons of Esav and Yishmael. They're going to use it. They're going to use it to enhance their role of planting seeds of God in this world. The chitisu charboisam le.
Le'itim.
Unbelievable. You're taking the sword, the chitisu. Look, whole long Rashi here. Whole long Rashi. The word chitisu is a word reserved for a bow and arrow. Cherev is Esav. They're coming together. And where are they coming together? Godol Yoim Yisrael. Rashi, what does it mean, Yisrael? Zerakel. Zera, the seed. What's the ratio? Whatever. Rashi, this is it's lashon of seeding. That when Mashiach will come, the earth will be planted with seeds of Hashem. The whole world will come to be Makar Kadosh Baruch Hu. All comes together.
I see something very interesting here. Yadecha is yad yamin. Vatimchat alay. You put the hand on the kind, you know, benachat kacha. Lahaniach et hayad. Et achitzim nichatu, aval chadach et hayada. However, Hashem doesn't stay by that. He
Benachas. Vatinchas. You say the chitzecha, you're saying a beautiful word, right? You're saying a drush. You're saying something different. You're saying a drush. The chitzecha is nichas, so they rain down with terror. But Hashem, he like Friday night, he gives a bracha to his children. He gently puts his hand on their head. Beautiful. And you take the same word, the same sherish, and you contrast the difference. Our enemies are trying to destroy us by raining down upon us terror. Hashem says, no, you're my children, I protect you, I put my hand upon you gently to bless you, to protect you, to show you my endearment for you. Beautiful, beautiful idea. Fantastic. We have to write this down in the Chidushei Kolo. Chidushei Morning Kolo. All right, so going back, now let's read the Rashi. We read the Rashi very quickly, we're not going to dwell upon this. Nichasu. What does it mean nichasu? It means nidrichu. The word nichasu means to bend. Okay, that's the word. Nidrichu means to bend. It means to bend. L'shoin, the Lord of nichas, noifel benetias bedrichas keshes. It is a word that is reserved for the bending of the bow. U'lefi sha'al yidei drichas hakeshes. And because through the bending of the bow, nizrakim hakitzim, the arrow is shot. Therefore, kosav nichasuvi. So Rashi over here is saying a tremendous chiddush. He's saying over here is, it doesn't really make any sense. He basically says the word here, it totally, literally doesn't make one bit of sense. But you have to know the vocabulary. If you know the vocabulary, bows and arrows, they have a reserved set of words. Every industry has its set of words. And in the industry of the bow and arrow industry, there's a word called a chetz, and there's a word called a keshes, and when you arm the keshes with the arrow, it's called nichasu. So therefore, even though the word chitzech and the word nichasu really do not belong together, but in the big picture of things, it's an expression, which means that the bow has been armed. How do you arm the bow? You pull back the yeser to a degree where the bow bends. And now there is enormous buildup of pressure waiting to be released to shoot the arrow a very long distance. And he proves that this is correct. This is a very nice proof. Rashi says, the proof is in the pudding. I'm not just making things up, because there's another expression which the only way you can make sense of it is the same idea. And that is, v'chein orik charbi. Now the word charb is a sword. Orik means to empty out. There's no such word. You don't empty out a sword. A sword is a sword. The word arik is used in reference to the sheath, to the tahar, the holster where you hold the sword. So you can say that you emptied out the tahar from arik tahar, where you empty out the tahar from the sword. But you don't use the word, you don't put these two words together. This is not the correct usage of the words. Obviously, the fact that it says this in the Shira, we say this every day, Arik Harbi, that I will empty out my sword, doesn't make any sense. You empty out the tar. You have to know the vocabulary of warfare. And when you deal with swords, when you fight in close combat with wards, you duel each other, then there's a word called Arik, there's a word called Kharb, there's a word called Tari.
To unsheath
your sword, even though it's not the correct combination of words. It should be, or Rashi says,
Hayuloy
lichtoiv
or rig
ta'ari.
You would say the same thing for a gun from its holster.
Exactly. Elo lefi sheki she motzi in chedav mi ta'aro. When you remove the sword from its sheath, ha ta'ha reik mimeno. Therefore, we are very generous in our use of language, very liberal. We're very liberal. It's a very dangerous word, liberal, today. We're very liberal in our usage of vocabulary in order to bring out this point. V'chein, and he gives another example, v'nichato keshas nechusha. Again, the same thing, the word v'nichato, this expression is v'nichato keshas nechusha. Now, I don't know what it means, because this word makes sense. Over here, v'nichato, you're going to bend the keshes nechusha, the copper keshes. Their talk, the word v'nichasa, makes sense. I think what he means to say over here is, he's just explaining. Really, the word v'nichasa should use reference to the keshes, to the bow. But just like we take the word rik in reference to the cheref, here also that's what the pasuk means. Okay, so over here Rashi has really said a mouthful. Okay, he said over ki chitzecha nichasu. Notice it's mila el. There's the trop is on the nun mila el. Ki chitzecha. All right, I'm assuming that you put emphasis on the ches and the nun because that's where the trop is. I guess I'm not sure if you know the trop of til of emes. Never really looked into that. You don't have to. That's something. This basic stuff that you know the trop of tilim. Tilim is different. In Chumash, we always taught us that wherever the Tameh HaMikra appear in the word, that is where the accent is positioned. The trop trumps all. Okay, the trop, two T's and alliteration. The trop trumps the accent. Wherever ordinarily a regular word, the accent is the end of the word. But if the Tameh HaMikra appear in the middle of the word or in the beginning of the word, the second to last act, then automatically the accent is that has kedima to everything, the trop. Is that rule also true in tilim? I don't know, I assume so. Ki chitza, is it really ki? I don't know, I don't know the rules. The trop of tilim is different. I don't hear people saying ki chitzacha nichasu, is that correct? I mean, I guess it is, right? It's, you know, you would say ki chitzacha, Nichasu V. What?
If the accent
was in the head. Right. I'm saying it sounds funny to me to say, it sounds Hasidish to say, Ki chitzecha nichasu V. I would assume that if you would say this from Tehillim, from the Siddur, they don't have the trop, and the Siddur there's no trop, and you would say, Ki chitzecha nichasu V. But the trop here is on the ches, and the trop is on the nun. Maybe, I don't know, I'm ignorant. Maybe the rules of the trop of Tehillim, because it's called emes. Emes is Eoiv, Mishlei, and Tehillim have a different trop, different rules. Maybe one day we'll learn, we're going to definitely be Li Neder. Hashem should give us the ability to learn in the beginning of this Sefer. They have a beautiful Hakdama from all of the Mefarshim, the Mincha Shai. It's a lot of good stuff to read. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more about the rules. The rules of the accent in Tehillim. But in any event, over here it says that the arrows, it says these two words, Rashi says a mouthful over here, that it says over the word nichasu vi, is telling you that it means over here that the arrows have been shot. They have been launched. They have not yet arrived. When you launch an arrow, you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know where it's going to land. But the arrows, the bow has been bent. You should know it doesn't necessarily even mean that they've been launched. It just means that they've been armed. Like you ever see these movies where they show they're going to launch the nuclear missiles, they arm, and all of a sudden out of the ground comes, they open up from the ground, and the missiles, they come up, and they're fueling them, and you see all this fuel, and they're waiting for the moment when they push the button.
Or the jet fighter, the same thing.
They've been armed. You have to arm your weapon. You have to remove the safety on a weapon, on a gun. You have to remove the safety. What's it called? Shoot, there's a safety lock. I was watching a video, recently, a little clip on one of those funny things he'll hold in their pockets, those glass little squares. And I was watching this clip, and the guy, there was a policeman, and he was mamash pointing the weapon. These things are real. No, a real gun. He was pointing the weapon at this criminal. And he said, stand down. He's mamish pulling him. He says, I'm now going to take off the safety lock. He's holding a weapon at a person, but he can't shoot it because there's a safety lock. And he says, if you're not going to do it, we're getting closer to killing you. I'm now, attorney told the criminal, I'm now releasing the safety lock on my weapon. It means until now, if you would shoot him, it wouldn't work. I'm now releasing the safety lock. I'm getting closer to shoot you. Okay, so it means to arm your weapon. You hear this term in the military vocabulary. Arm your weapon. It's not just enough to have a weapon. It's not just enough to load the weapon. You can load the weapon. still not going to work. You have to arm the weapon. And now you're ready to go. So when it says this expression, nichasuvi, that's really what it means. It means you're arming the weapon. You're not yet shooting the missile. You're bending the bow. I have here a bow, I have an arrow. Big deal. I have to put the arrow in the bow. Okay, very good. I have the arrow. It's touching now the yeser, and it's in the bow. Okay, that's step two. Now you got to pull back. Oh, when you pull back, now you're bending the bow. Now you basically have armed your weapon. All that's left to do now is let go. So that's what it says over here.
Arrows?
Sure. Of course. Of course.
I accept it. I got it. You know?
Of course, certainly. It's not a physical arrow.
Ben Sorer Moreh, we had the same kind of thing. Ben Sorer Moreh. I feel it. You gave me Musar, you gave me Tochacha, as Michatubim. I got it. The Navi told me already.
Exactly. It's life. You hear things that go on in this world. Right, of course, that doesn't mean physical. I mean, it also, but it means the Musar, there's fear. There are things that happen in this world, and I didn't read the article yet, but supposedly a sensational article from the New York Times about the yeshiva system. So you read it? You read it, Dov? You read the article? Okay, so like Hashem is giving us Musar. These are the arrows of Hashem. You hear terrible anti-Semitism. Terrible anti-Semitism. They even printed it in Yiddish. Right? They put it in Yiddish. How do they put it? We on the website? Where do they put it in Yiddish? Where's it in Yiddish? So I read the New York Times, and so far they even made it available in Yiddish. It's for all the Hasidim to read. Their hate. It sounds like Rakshove. Mama, you're dealing over here in Maisim and Navi. We're in time of Chizkiyahu, so they came to blaspheme Hashem. So what did they do? So they spoke. What language do they speak? They spoke in I don't know what language in Kasti. There's a language the Kastiim. So in Rakshove, who was an Apikoreis, who was a Jew, Rakshove, when he came, Rav Shokei came to curse Klal Yisrael. He stood on top of the wall of Yerushalayim and he delivered the message in Lashon HaKodesh. And Chizkiyo said, listen, you want to curse us? Good. Don't curse us in Hebrew. I don't want the people to hear what you're saying. I want every single one of these people to know what Nebuchadnezzar has to say about you. Sancheriv, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Kasti, Ashur, Assyrian. So when he went on top of the world and he cursed Klal Yisrael, he cursed them b'lashoyin ha-kodesh. Everyone should understand. We're witnessing over here, mamish, unbelievable. The same thing, the hatred. This is not just about education. It's laced. I didn't read it yet. I didn't get a chance. I just read the report. I have to go. Want to go read the whole detailed thing later. But it's supposedly laced with incredible hatred, incredible expressions of sinas Yisrael. And they weren't satisfied, just unprecedented. You ever hear the New York Times translating an article they wrote into French, into Spanish, into Russian, so that the Russians should know what they have to say about them, about Chinese? Did you ever hear something nasty about the Chinese? There are plenty of nasty articles, about every nationality. Every nationality. Has there ever been in the history of the New York Times when they themselves, I have to see if that's true, what I'm saying, I don't know if it's accurate, I have to go check up on this, I read last night, did they ever go and translate an article that's negative, that about the Russians, into Russian, so every Russian citizen can see what the New York Times has to say about it? Never. Never, ever, ever. This is a first. And it really strikes a Sancheriv, Rav Shokei, stood on top of the wall in Lashon HaKodesh, and Chizkiah pleaded, don't say it in Hebrew. Don't say it in Hebrew. You can say it in your own language. This is serious stuff. Hashem over here is sending down arrows upon us. This is unbelievable. If this is true, what I'm saying, which I don't know, premature, okay, maybe it's exaggerated, but we'll check it out. If it's true, this is really, really over the top. Over the top, and you know,
we're in an era of over the top.
We are. Everything is an extreme thing. We live in a world of extremists. Fundamentalists. It's unbelievable. That's the first part of Rashi. Now, here he goes into the ground. Now he says, Rashi has to apologize. Not apologize, but you have to say, now that I've told you that the word nichasu means to bend, let me make it, and he's really foreshadowing for the next part of the pasuk. Because the next part of the pasuk is about tinchas ola yodecha. It's almost the same word. Now, Rashi seems to work with the principle. It's not likely that the pasuk would say David would use the same word twice, in the same exact word twice in the same pasuk. And this is, you know, very true in writing. When you write and you want to, you know, write like even an ad, especially when you want like an ad in a journal, you want to write, you know, you want to write something a little bit flowery. You want to, you know, write something nice. You don't repeat the same word twice. Okay, you don't repeat the same word when you write up something and you want to, basically you have nothing to write, so you have eloquent baloney. My father used to say about you could discern a certain person was a phenomenal writer, but he was so busy. He was so busy. This person, he doesn't really have time to be machadish. You know, it's very hard to say something original, something very thoughtful, provocative. So, but he was called upon to speak wherever he walks. Oh, here walks in the Reish HaMedav B'chol Mokon. Nu, say something. What am I going to say? I don't know anything. Okay, they put a microphone to his face. But he was so talented, he would get up there and he would speak with the most eloquent, unbelievable, come out of his mouth. And what would he say? He would say nothing. Remember, eloquent baloney. Incredible, incredible. No one can match. No one can match the vocab. No one can match his koyach hadibur, his koyach of writing. But what did he say? Well, when he prepared and he wanted to say something, he had what to say. But how much can you under so much pressure do it? So eloquent, David would never ever repeat the same word in the same pasuk. When you want to be eloquent and you want to say something and you have to repeat the same concept multiple ways, you're not going to use the same word. So Rashi over here is putting himself in a pickle. Because over here he has ki chitzecha nichasu. The word nichasu means to bend. Now there's another word, vatinchas ola yodecha. What does that word mean? It's the same shirish. Oh, in a chanami, it's not the same shirish. It's a different word. That word means to lower, to descend. And how? What do you mean? How could you say that? They both have the same three letters, Nun, Ches, and Asaf. So how are you going to get out of that? So Rashi is very clever. No. The first word, Chitzecha, it's Ches and Asaf. The root of the word are two letters only, Ches, Saf. Ches means to bend. The Nun is a grammatical tool. When you want to go and manipulate a shoresh into the different shoroshim, then you put a nun and you put a chirik and a tzeri and a cholim and a dot here and a dot there. You play around. The next word, vatinchas, that's a different word and that's a three-letter shoresh. The nun is part of the root. It's a different word. And that's what Rashi goes on and on and on to explain. Okay, so here we go very quickly. So over here, here's the difference. Based on what I've just taught you, you should be aware. The word in nichasu, the nun, is not part of the shoresh. It's not part of the word. Shim hoisa shoresh. Hoilo loy marchev says ninchasu. If the nun was part of the shoresh, you could not double up. Rashi is telling you a principle in grammar. I know nothing. I'm just saying words over here. I know nothing. I'm a big believer, know anything. I have a really good sefer. I'm dying to have time to learn. So I'm putting a phenomenally good sefer on Dikduk. It's a new sefer. It's not so new. It's already been before.
If Nun Chatur means the first
first one is from Mif'al, not from the Shoresh. And the second one...
It's the Shoresh. Shoresh. So it should say... It should say Ninchatu.
If one... If it's Hasrei Pei Nun, that means the Nun is missing, then you need the Dagesh of the next word. However, the next letter... But the
this is too complicated for me. Gerdak, right, he talks about that. Oh, Rav Kalman is saying is, there's a tricky technique how you can double up, you can double a letter without you even realizing it. You put a dot. By putting a dot in a letter, generally, it's like the letter appears twice. A dot is equal to a whole letter. It's like a double up. Problem though is, a ches does not get a dot. A ches does not get a dot. There's no such thing as a dot. You never saw a ches. You never saw a ches with a dot. You saw nun, a lot of letters. Which letters? Beged kesef. But there are more. There are other letters that get dots off. There are other letters. There are different rules. Achra. They don't get dots. Those don't get dots. There are certain letters that you cannot double up. And therefore the ches does not get a dot. So that changes the dynamics. The dynamics of how we're going to use this word. Now that's a dangerous statement. I told you that according to Rashi, the second word means to lower. Rashi says that at the end. And the Sivsei Zikanim explains that. Rashi really is giving over here, it's very cryptic what Rashi is saying. He's really giving you two perushim. He's first starting off and telling you the next word, Vatinchas Olai Yodecha, also means to bend in his first interpretation. Unless you want to go say that he's referring to Vatinchas, not this pasuk, but a different pasuk. Could very well be, Rashi is very cryptic. It could be because the word Vatinchas, this is not the only place where it appears. It appears other places. Rashi very simply seems to be saying that the word indeed is repeated twice in this pasuk. And then later in Rashi tells you a second interpretation, which that's how I explained to you, is that the second use of the word vatinchas is a different word entirely. But Rashi at face value tells you over here that no, v'chein vatinchas ein a sharish. The nun in vatinchas is not part of the root. And therefore, the word basically, shockingly, is repeated in the pasuk twice. You bent the bow in order to arm the bow to release the arrows. And likewise, vatinchas olai yodecha, you bent upon me your hina. What does that mean even exactly, to bend? I don't know what it means. The word that if you learn the word to bend, Hashem, you bent your hand, you strangled me. What does it mean to bend your hand? I really don't know what that means. V'noifelis leprokim k'may nun shel, and he goes on to explain it, like the words nun shel nogaf, noshach, nodar, nokem, uche she mispael, yoimar, nigov. Sometimes that nun can disappear in time, even though, you know, a word, even if it's part of the root, can also magically disappear, sometimes. But when you manipulate the word to produce a shoresh, like it says, uche shemispael, when you turn it into a verb, yoimar, you don't add another nun. It's nigof, nishach, nidor, nikom, kmo, ningof, ninshach. Okay, over here you have an extra nun. Ningof, ninshach, nindor, ninkom, shadogesh ba, bateva. The dogesh comes in with b'mokoyim nun. V'chein ole nidof. So it's, no, it's sometimes you have two nuns and sometimes you have one nun. When can you get away with one nun? So Kalman explained, you can get away with one nun if the next letter is a letter that can accept a dot. But if the next letter cannot accept a dot, then you have no choice but to have a double nun. Eini nigra. You see there's a dot in the gimel? Nigra, my eyes, they're tearing. Nigra. So if it's only because the gimel can receive a dat, you're able to use one nun. If the gimel was a letter that would not be able to receive a dat, it would have to be any ninigra. Then no such word. If the gimel would not be able to receive a dot, you would have to say eini nini ra. Gimel really is a ra and a gra. But because a gimel can receive a dot, it does us a favor. It allows the nun just to have one time. Kmo nindof. Now, nindof. There's a dagesh, but there's two nuns though. These are two a little. This is over my head. I really don't know. There's a lot more here than meets my eye. It's a little over my head.
The nun disappears.
The nun disappears. But here we're doing it nin. The why are there two nuns here? The dalagets we have over here. There is a dad in the dalit. Nindof, they're in the brackets. Nindof, why can it be nidof? Why there are two that? Why there are two nuns? Nin gira, in the brackets, in the beginning of the line, in the brackets. He puts over here, eini nigra kmo nindof nin nigra. I think maybe what he means over here is that you can do both ways. Either you can do it with two nuns, but if you really want, because there's a dat. You don't need it. You see, Rav Kalman, you see it's the beginning of the line in the brackets? Maybe it needs to be done two ways. Kein yomar nichasu, kmo ninchasu, v'chein v'nichata, kashes nechusha, v'ayidei zero say, kmo v'ninchasa, shaderech shaches lesnai, k'minek dagshus b'roiv mekoymois, kmo kichesh loy, mimishkol dogesh, kmo diber, migizras v'aydaber, kein kichesh, migizras v'atechachesh, soro, ולא יאמר כחש, כחש, כאשר יאמר מן ויברך בירך, I don't know what I'm saying, just reading these words, ולא יאמר בירך.
If there is no dagesh, so the
chirik
became
tsere. Tsere, right, he mentioned that. Since he tries to explain that concept. Okay, but he's basically saying, we're not going to go through this, we need a board, and we need to go through all the dots, and go through this very, very carefully. See, this Rashi is a great way to teach grammar. You know, you don't have to always, the best stuff is Chazal. You want to go learn grammar. I always believe I had a friend who was really, really into this, Shugovsky does the Chaim Berlin Journal. The Chaim Berlin Journal is like a telephone book. He does the whole thing. He writes the ads for everyone, and he corrects all the grammar mistakes, and he corrects the spelling. He's genius in diktuk and expression. So and in fact, his journal is so good, every single yeshiva has the journal sitting in the office. And when they make a dinner, they plagiarize. I tell you, you know yeshivas have the journal. Here's the journal of Chaim Berlin in their office, just to basically plagiarize the whole thing when they make a dinner. So that's why he's so super careful, because he made a reputation for himself that his journal ends up all over the world in the offices of all of the yeshivas. So he makes sure he does a very good job. So I told him, I begged him once, and he was going to do it, but he doesn't have time. Is to write, and he really wants to do this, is to write a sefer in simple English on grammar, teaching the rules of diktuk through the siddur. Basically, the text is the siddur. Modem ani lefonecha. Why is it modeh? Because it's masculine. Teach right away the first word, modeh. Modeh, it's not modo. Modo is feminine. Modeh is, so right away you teach a person a rule that a segol is masculine and a komatz is feminine. And indeed, there are many sidurim, even Haredi sidurim. There's a big machloek in Eretz Yisrael. America, no one talks about this. But Eretz Yisrael, they're much more into this, is by the Haredim. Girls, in a girl's school, do you teach, should a girl, when she wakes up in the morning, say modeh ani lefonecha, or should she say modeh? I think Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he held that women should say part of the davening in the feminine form, modeh. A woman should say modeh ani lefonecha. Other gedolim say, no. Don't tamper with the nusach. It's true. It, for a woman, it doesn't. It's not grammatically correct. There's one size fits all. It's a very interesting concept. Okay. Right. Exactly. But that's a pasuk. That's a pasuk. But saying modan lefonecha, look, everyone saw. There's a very beautiful video. Of Chaim's wife, Rebbetzin Basheva Kanievsky, and of Chaim saying brachos to each other. Everyone must have seen that video. I watched the video 10 times. It's a very beautiful video. It was taken not that long ago. Early in the morning, they woke up and they said to each other brachos. And when she said the brachos, she said everything. She said shaloi osani shivcha, shaloi osani goya. So she said all she said the brachos from, you know, not like what they do over here in the Beis Yaakov. The Beis Yaakov's over here. A girl says shaloi osani oved. Shaloi osani goy. The art scroll siddur is masculine. The art scroll siddur for women is a masculine siddur. They added a few little things. They put on a pink cover and they added a few little things that Noshim say. But they did not change. They did not change it from modeh to modah. They did not make any. I checked through it. They kept everything masculine. Obviously, they asked. I'm sure they asked Rav David Feinstein. And he told them, listen, that's how we've been doing it for generations. Don't, I'm sure that's how. But I've come across very choshva sidurim there. They come out and they're good. Look at the video. The video speaks volumes. Rebbetzin Kanievsky, she said bracha. She said shloya sani goyo, shloya sani shifcha. The few other things that she said. So, okay, that's it. But the point over here, how do we get into this? Ready for how to get into this over here? Let's go back over to the words over here. We have over here, going back to our. All right, let's go back. Diber v'lo yama kachesh kasher yama vayivarch beirach v'lo yama beirach kasher yama diber. L'vishein dugar shesnika bereish avol b'ches nika dagshus v'chein shicheis k'mo kiper diber af kan yama nichasu k'mo nigshu nitenu nigizras nun ches tof nun sof nun kein nun gimul shem v'hanun yisoid noyfel dikonis dogesh b'mekoyma kashu mispael. V'chein keshas gibodim chatim migizras nichas v'chosas kasher yomar min nosav sovav min nosham shomam v'noshamu derchem v'shomu olecha v'chein bolal noval ki shom bolal Hashem v'novlosom sifosom kein yomar nichas v'chosas v'lushon poal. I have no idea what I just said. Okay, I'm not going to make believe for 1 second. I know one word I just said. I did try very hard with the Sifsei Zakenim to some degree. Problem is, what the Sifsei Zakenim does is he manipulates Rashi very much. He really, really, it appears that the Sifsei Zakenim did not really understand what Rashi said either. And if you read the Sifsei Zakenim, he says things that it doesn't say in Rashi. He totally, I don't know what he did over here. He totally turned Rashi upside down. Rashi seems to keep on saying over and over again is that the nun is part of the shoresh. And the Sifsei Zakenim categorically says it's not. So, and he comments on the Rashi doesn't mean it's part of the shoresh. It's just there as part. He keeps on saying the shoresh is nun, the shoresh is ches, sof, period. And that's how everything makes sense.
We do.
It just means that it's a more abstract form, a much more abstract form of the word. Everyone to a degree.
Can I ask for another example?
Noach, ish tzaddik, tamim hoya b'day reisav. How does Noach get a name with two letters? Noach. Every word, Rabbi Orlian. Zichron Levracha, he showed me.
That's not a three-letter poyal.
He went and he showed me. He was a very big expert in this, and showing that is showing take two letters, and the two letters is a major abstraction, and then when you go into three letters, you become more specific, and then when you put the three letters into the context of an expression, then it solidifies. And even a letter, lech is to go. Right. Okay, so, and then I would imagine, even if you would go further, even one letter.
If Nichatu has a two-letter shalish. What is the nun doing there?
The nun, part of the grammar. It gives it a verb form. It gives it action. Lights, camera, action. Bend. Nun, nun, ches, and a sof. A ches and a sof means to bend. When you put the nun before, it means put a human being doing of action. Lights, cam, move, do something. You have to do something. And you know, if you would go even further, this is a general concept. Lashon Kodesh. There are 22 letters in the Aleph base. Each letter in itself, we don't appreciate this. We don't have the chokhmah to understand this. Each letter in itself represents a concept. It's abstract. And every single thing in this world, everything in this world that happens in this world can be rooted in one of the 22 letters of the Aleph base. When you add another letter, you are going from an extreme abstractness to something a bit more defined. When you add a third letter, then it becomes even more, the abstraction is solidified, it is removed, and it becomes even more defined. When you then take that three letters and you embellish it with a prefix, a suffix, and add nekudos, you solidify it even more. And then when you take that and you put it in an expression surrounded by another couple of words, wow, then you really give it even a greater definition. And when you put it in a pasuk, then it becomes solid. It takes on a very definitive form. You go from abstractions, and in other languages, there's no such thing. Everyone asks, what's the difference between Lashon HaKodesh and French, Latin, and other ancient languages? The difference in other languages are just a convention of man. They just take symbols. There are no rules. There's no, whatever. There's nothing to it. Lashon HaKodesh is the blueprint of creation. Every letter, there are certain concepts could never have a certain letter. Everything in this world, you start with one letter. When you want to make it more concrete, another letter, then the vowels, then its context in the expression, and then even in its greater context in the pasuk. And that's how you come to define a particular word in a specific environment. Here, kichitzecha nichasu, we read these words, we're not going to go, listen, now let's go to the next part of the Rashi. Now, yeah.
What the summary of Rashi? Rashi says this is binyan nif'al. So there is a binyan nif'al. You have a nun called nun pei ayin lamed. And when the pei apoal is nun, it's missing.
Okay.
So that's what he says here. So nichatu means
ninchatu.
Ninchatu. And the nun is.
See, that's what I thought, but that's all this is. The Kenim says. That's what I could. He's saying.
There's no dagesh there.
Right, right.
There's no dagesh because there is a chet.
Really, it should be nin cha su. That's really what it would be. But because it's a ches.
It's not from the shorish.
No, he's saying the nun isn't the shorish. But then the tzitzchem, it's not from the shorish. I don't know. It's a little confusing. Now, let's look at the next Rashi. But this is really why we have all this trouble in this pasuk. Because, one second over here. This is why we have all this trouble. The reason why we have all this trouble here is because Vatinchas Ola Yodech is the second part of the pasuk uses the same exact shoresh, and this is why Rashi wrote this whole page. It's clear the reason why Rashi wrote this whole page is because of what it says over here now. Perish Chitzecha Nichasu B. It says here your arrows. Your arrows have nichasu b, v'chein pisroinoi. Second. Okay, v'chein pisroinoi. Mi darach b'keshes liroi sachitzim. Who is the one? Now we are identifying who is the source of the arrows descending upon me. Who is the one that shot the arrows against me? Me. Dorach Bakeshas Leroy's, who's the one who bent the bow to shoot the arrows? Yod Shelcha, he notas a Bakeshas Lapil Olaichitzim. Now, period. So, according to Rashi's first interpretation, the word basically is repeated twice. And the second part is an explanation of identity. First it says, ki chitzecha nichasuvi. Your, now this is very problematic because it says chitzecho. Chitzecho, the chof indicates that it's Hashem. There's your arrows that have been shot at me. And then it repeats itself. And who was the one who shot the arrows? You. Vatinchas olai. You shot, you bent the bow with the arrows upon me. Yodecha. You have to read it backwards. Vatinchas yodecha. You use your hands to bend the bow olai upon me. Excuse me, we just said that in the previous expression. According to Rashi, if you read this again, this Rashi is very, very difficult. Look at you. The proof is, look at this Zakenim, who really, really struggles to make sense of all this. According to Rashi's first interpretation, it appears that the word over here is the same exact word. It's being repeated twice, and it's saying the same exact concept twice. The first time is just telling us generally that Kadosh Baruch Hu is shooting arrows upon us, and the second part of the pasuk is making it clear as day that the arrows are not coming randomly. It's not the enemy, but everything comes from Hashem. Now, the Sivzei Zakenim says an awesome chiddush. When Rashi goes on, he's really saying Loshon Acher. You have to really add into the parish a new interpretation. When after this dat, Vatinchas Loshon Vatered. According to this interpretation, the second word is a completely different word. And the word Vatinchas means to descend. The word, the first part of the pasuk is nichasu, means to bend. You bend the bow. The second part of the pasuk is to push down. There are no arrows. No arrows. It's physical force. Hashem is banging on our heads. He's crushing us. Vatei red. Uvezeh hanun shoyresh vateva. And then there's a different word. The nun is part of the root. And v'chein v'nichaso keshes nechusha v'chein hanun ein hanun shorish. And then he goes on v'ein hanun shorish. I mean, it's vacillating here back and forth. This really, really is extremely mysterious to understand what is going on. There appears to be major contradictions over here in this Rashi. And again, I try my best. I went through the Sifzei Zakenim, and there are certain parts that are just beautiful in and of itself. Sifzei Zakenim, he explains concepts. But when you go back into the Rashi, you know, one line to the next, something over here doesn't make sense. But the gist is one thing that is very clear, as we explain this in the Hakdama. The gist is there are two words here in this pasuk which appear to have the same shirish, and it's not necessarily correct. According to one mahalach, is the first part of the first word is ches, and sof is the shirish, which means to bend, and the subject is the bow. The second part of the pasuk, it's nun chesaf. The nun is part of the root, and it means to descend, to come down. Nachas. What does it mean, nachas? Person has nachas from his children. His neshama rests. It is a certain tranquility. His neshama rest. To give you rest. You've achieved your goal. You the satisfaction. Now, what is nachas? The satisfaction of achieving a mission, a goal of hard labor, and you have been successful in your efforts. And in this context, it's not positive. In this context, it's negative. Hashem is banging with his hand. He's taking his hand and crushing us. Two completely different words, thus avoiding the major question of what you don't want to have repetition in the pasuk. That's general. That's the gist of Rashi. And with that comes these ideas that a ches never gets a dat. A nun can sometimes be part of the nun is a letter that is a very popular letter that is used in order to transform a concept into an action. And sometimes it's done with a chirik, sometimes we use a tsere, and sometimes a letter can be repeated, sometimes it's not necessary because it's a letter that is available, is subject to receive a dat, and when there's a dat that allows us to minimize the repetition, and all of those related matters, which unfortunately, Chaval, I do not have knowledge and understanding of these things, And maybe Oid Chazay Lamoid, one day we can maybe learn and delve into this on a much deeper level.
Rashi, sometimes it goes very fast, and sometimes because Rashi, a non Rashi diktukim like this, suddenly, it felt like talking about this Rashi. All the psukim here, you need the diktuk. But, I wonder why he picks up a specific one.
This one. Why here? Because I guess over here is a really great, because over here you have two words, and they have the same shoresh, and they're back to back. So this is not common. You don't have this often. You have two words back to back with the same shoresh.
The first one is about the chitzim, and the second one is about you and him. So that's all. That's the explanation. That's why. And then he goes to.
All right, so Mirsham, tomorrow we're going to go on to Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, Ein B'Sem B'Sari. We'll continue on page 344 tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. Take a short break. We're going to learn something in Yoni Rosh Hashanah when we come back.